News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Welcome to Countdown 2024. Election Day just 55 days away. We've got a packed show for you today with debate reaction coming up from the chair of the California Democratic Party and a Republican National Committee spokeswoman. After that, we'll talk with California's senior U.S. Senator Alex Padilla. But first, let's take a quick lap around the political world.
Well, the first and possibly only debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump drew a significantly higher audience than Trump's debate with Joe Biden back in June. It's estimated that nearly 60 million Americans, if not more, across cable and network channels watched the vice president and former president square off on ABC. And interestingly, the major metro markets with the biggest audience shares came in on one key swing state, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. They were the two cities with the most TVs tuned to the debate last night.
You wonder why. As of now, there are no further scheduled debates, but today, Kamala Harris's campaign agreed to debate once more on Fox News. Donald Trump, however, didn't sound too eager to rush back to the debate stage. This is what he told Fox and Friends this morning.
I don't know, Mr. President, that I want to do another debate.
Right. Right at the end, as I was interrupting, so you don't know if you want to do another debate. It sounds like you're a no.
Well, I'd be less inclined to because we had a great night. We won the debate.
A good night got even better for Kamala Harris. That is when arguably the biggest music star in the world, Taylor Swift, endorsed her campaign for the presidency, calling Harris a steady-handed, gifted leader. Swift made her announcement, her endorsements, in an Instagram post. It was accompanied by this picture. Did you see it, Charles, of the pop superstar with the cat? And it was signed, Childless Cat Lady.
Okay, so now to last night. Let's get to reaction, some analysis, and spin from last night's Trump-Harris debate. We're going to hear from partisans on both sides of the political aisle. First up is Rusty Hicks. He's chair of the California Democratic Party. Rusty, one of the main things that Kamala Harris keeps saying is that she wants to represent a turning of the page. She wants to get past what she says has been the viciousness and the attacks of the past 10 years. But listening to the debate last night, if I close my eyes, it didn't sound all that much different from when Hillary Clinton was debating Donald Trump. So where was, from the debate last night, evidence of this turning of the page?
Well, I think she was prepared. I think she showed that she was qualified. She was presidential. And at the same time, you saw Donald Trump showing that he was unfit and in many ways unhinged. She made her case as to a brighter vision that she offers for our country, a new way forward, and a clear contrast to Donald Trump, who simply wants to take us back. And so I think whether it was on the economy, whether it was on reproductive freedom, whether it was on national security, reminding the American people that they had once fired the former president, made it clear that we are not going back.
You know,
and so I think she made a strong case last night.
You know, you talk about her, Donald Trump, being unhinged. I mean, Harris definitely did a good job getting under his skin, and he went for it every single time. But the question really is, like, will that effectively kind of translate into the votes that she needs to, you know, turn this very, very close race in her favor?
Well, I think a recent, you know, much has been talked about the recent New York Times Siena poll that said that 28% of likely voters in November wanted to know more about the vice president and her vision for the country. And I think she had the opportunity to tell her own story, to share her own vision for the country. And certainly, I think there were 60 million or so folks who showed up and watched the debate. But obviously, the punchlines of the debate are going to be told over and over and over. And I certainly think they both created some important content that's going to be shared with the rest of the country for her looking presidential, for him, not so much.
But, you know, Rusty, I was reading some of the comments this morning on various news outlets from people who are still undecided, who said, you know, we wanted to know more about her personally, but we really wanted to know from the debate last night specifics about how she's going to turn this page forward. How is she going to be different from Joe Biden? How is she going to accomplish the things that she says she wants to get the country to, the places she wants to get the country to? Did you actually hear that last night?
Well, I certainly think that she gave specifics about her vision for an opportunity economy, supporting middle and working class families, supporting small businesses. And on the other side, you didn't get anything close to any details. You got, we're going to put in place tariffs and raise taxes on middle class Americans. And so I think it's pretty clear that what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have had to do is to clean up Donald Trump's mess. But you know, over the last 3.5 years.
But Rusty, she also didn't really go too much in depth into more of what her potential policy would be, what she would be like as a President Harris. Did she miss an opportunity last night?
I think she took full advantage of the opportunity to look and be presidential, to share her story with the country, to refute the lies of Donald Trump, and to remind voters of what going back looks like, whether it was on the economy, his refusal to say that he wouldn't veto a ban on a national ban on abortion, making it clear as to who Donald Trump stands with, which is dictators and strong men around the world. I think she took full advantage of the moment. The stakes were high. The expectations were high for her. And it's my belief that she met the moment.
All right, Rusty Hicks, thank you so much. Now for the Trump perspective on last night's debate, let us bring in Elizabeth Pipko. She is the national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. Elizabeth, my first question for you is Senator Lindsey Graham, longtime ally of former President Donald Trump, said that he was unprepared and his debate performance was a disaster. Your thoughts?
Look, you have to ask Lindsey Graham about that, obviously. But, you know, we're looking at what the people have responded with, right? You and I are going to have opinions no matter what. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not slightly biased here, right? I'm here to look at what the American people thought of the debate. And I was really impressed with what came back to us, what people said. Polling looks great. For example, we're looking at a CNN poll where majority of people actually believe that on the economy, they now think Donald Trump would handle things much better than Kamala Harris. That's after listening last night. Obviously, a lot of people were very confused by the moderators and how President Trump was treated. A lot of people were confused with what you were just talking about, actually, with Kamala Harris's rehearsed answers versus Donald Trump. You can say a lot about him. You can't say he's not authentic. So I actually thought that, you know, people got what they should have gotten from the debate last night, which was nothing new on Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. Unfortunately, she gave us no new policy proposals. No one knows her any better than they did before. And people think the same of Donald Trump, I'm sure, because he's been the same authentic Donald Trump since 2015.
Well, and I think you're right, Elizabeth, nothing new in terms of Kamala Harris, and certainly nothing new in terms of Donald Trump. But Donald Trump, I mean, you have to admit, Elizabeth, often says things that just are demonstrably not true. And doesn't that bother you?
I mean, you have to give me an example, but I can give you plenty.
Well, I mean, you know, we can always go to the hard and true one, which is his insistence that he won the election, which he didn't. And then I can go through a laundry list of other things, including, I mean, really, you know, eating cats and dogs. You know that there's no evidence to support that claim last night. So I can keep on going. But doesn't it bother you? And don't you think it bothers some people who may be undecided, who were watching the debate last night and wanted to see both of them be real presidential? Then maybe they were tilting toward Donald Trump, but thinking, yeah, but what he said about this or what he said about that wasn't really true.
Here's what I'd say. I'd say if you watched last night, let's say with a completely open mind, someone that does not know yet who they're voting for, you watched Donald Trump get fact-checked multiple times, and you watched Kamala Harris actually get to lie on the debate stage and not get fact-checked. So I'd say the problem lies actually with the moderators, with the Democrats, and with Kamala Harris, because we know for a fact that Donald Trump will always get fact-checked by the media. And Kamala Harris stood on the stage and she was allowed to perpetrate the Charlottesville hoax, Project 2025, saying Donald Trump wants a national abortion monitor, claiming so many different things that were simply not true, were meant to scare the American people, and were left completely unchecked, which I would say is almost a bigger problem than anything said by either candidate, because it proves that we don't have a fair system in the country anymore, and that Americans can't even rely on a simple debate and these moderators to give them the truth, which is just an, you know, a fact focused debate. And I think that's the real problem, that everything feels biased, everything feels divided, and the American people can't even get a fair shake anymore and what they deserve just a couple weeks out from November 5th.
Do you think that they should debate again?
I do. I'm always a believer in the more transparency, the better. I think there's a reason Kamala Harris did this debate and one pre-recorded CNN interview and nothing else. And I would say Donald Trump has always been as authentic as possible, always been as transparent as possible. And I think that's why, despite people disagreeing with what he says, I think that's why so many people are so interested in him and everything that comes out of his mouth. I'll be honest, I don't know what we're going to get, but I think the American people deserve as much transparency as possible from both parties and both candidates always.
Very quickly, Elizabeth, if there were to be another debate, would you tell him to do anything differently?
I would say he's very good at watching back and deciding for himself what he should do. I would say I don't think any of us expected the Kamala Harris we got last night. We don't hear from her very often, so no one really knew what to expect. So I think he would perform slightly differently, just knowing how she's going to come prepared and with what, right? It was a lot of low blows, a lot of insults, a lot of prepared statements that didn't have a lot to do with policy. And I'm not sure that anyone really knew what to expect, but I know in a second debate that he certainly would.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. The battle for the White House won't be the only crucial contest resolved on election night. There's also the fight for control of Congress. Talking about that a whole lot more, U.S. Senator Alex Padilla joins us next on Countdown 2024.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
You are listening to Countdown 2024 on KNX News 97.1 FM with Charles Feldman. I'm Margaret Carrero.
Well, Margaret, no matter who wins the White House in November, California will still have some really complicated problems to solve, whether it's the homeless crisis, the desperate need to build more affordable housing, or the state's growing wildfire threat. Witness what is happening today. Neither Kamala Harris or Donald Trump will likely have a big immediate impact, good or bad. So what's the best course ahead for California? To try to answer that, we're talking with California's senior U.S. Senator. Maybe he'll object to being called senior. I don't know. We'll find out. Alex Padilla. Senator, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Charles. And you know what? I do not mind. I think I've earned it after all my years in public service.
Okay. But let me ask you this. You know, a lot of people are asking now, you know, what is the president going to do for me, whether it's going to be Harris or whether it's going to be Trump? But you know, I think, as well as anybody, that the things that affect most people on a day-to-day basis are really things that local officials, you know, whether it's a city, a county, a state, they're the ones that really make a difference on a day-to-day basis. We're having an election in California, of course, too, to see who's going to fill the junior seat, whether it's going to be Steve Garvey or Adam Schiff. Whomever joins you in Washington, tell us what the two of you are going to do to help California.
No, look, it's a great question, and I think I've been blessed with not just my prior experience for joining the Senate, but specifically the fact that my career started at the local level. You may recall my years on the Los Angeles City Council before serving the legislature, before Secretary of State, and now U.S. Senate. And so to your point about what affects people most on a day-to-day basis, whether it's public safety, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's job opportunities, the power of the federal government is immense, which is why I enjoy this opportunity so much, working not just with my colleagues in the Senate.
All right. So what are you guys, so what are you going to do?
All right. So a couple of things. I mean, we can build on California's policy leadership when it comes to things like climate change, the push nationally towards clean energy for the benefit of the environment and for job creation. California has led the way, and it's a foundation for a lot of the initiatives that we've done at the federal level. I mean, I appreciate your point about all politics being local and, you know, what do people care most about on a day-to-day basis. I will tell you some of the national issues are some of the most pressing issues, whether it's the battle for reproductive rights. You know, we've been talking about last night's debate with some of your prior guests. The contrast couldn't be clearer. It's Donald Trump who takes pride in having appointed Supreme Court justices that removed the protections of Roe v. Wade. And you've heard from California's own Vice President Kamala Harris, her commitment to restoring those protections.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but let's circle back to the idea of the things that are really impacting us here in California. I understand that's a national debate and that's a huge issue, but you talked a little bit about the idea of housing. We need an immense amount of affordable housing in California. We have a homelessness crisis that just does not seem to get better, no matter how much local governments throw at it. So what is your plan at a federal level to help California with reducing homelessness, with getting more affordable housing built?
Sure. So I'll encourage people to go to my website and look up my Housing for All Act, which calls for a number of strategies that have been proven by local governments to work, whether it's getting people off the streets and into transitional housing, whether it's investments in affordable housing through financing by the federal government or vouchers for people looking for affordable housing. We need to significantly increase the housing supply to help bring down the cost, because it's both a housing supply crisis and an affordability crisis. You have ideas that President Biden has put out that Vice President Harris supports to look at tax incentives for affordable housing development. And you look at a four-year track record of Donald Trump when he was in the White House doing nothing about the issue. So the contrast couldn't be clearer.
Senator, we're going to hit the pause button for a minute. You're going to stay with us. That's Senior Senator Alex Padilla. We'll have more with him when Countdown 2024 continues. You're listening to Countdown 2024. Sitting in front of me is Margaret Carrero, and sitting in front of her is me, Charles Feldman.
California Senior U.S. Senator Alex Padilla remaining with us to close out today's show. As I'm sure you're probably well aware, Senator, we've got three big wildfires, the biggest one in California burning here in Southern California. How's the federal government working with state leaders in Sacramento to not just boost firefighting capabilities, but also modernize forest management to reduce the substantial risks that we face here?
Look, we're working hand in glove, and it's only because we've had way too much experience with increasingly large wildfires over the last 10, 12 years in California. So, you know, to your point, everything from the recent arrival of C-130 aircraft, surplus military aircraft that's been retrofitted to help tackle these large wildfires. We're implementing technology from different federal departments and agencies to help with some of the imaging and modeling of where these fires are going to go and grow, so we can more strategically deploy assets, not just firefighters, but other assets. And of course, having learned from prior wildfire experience on how to best communities recover and rebuild after these devastating fires. But long term, got to tackle climate change. It's this extreme heat events that have caused so much, not just so many fires, but so much destruction. It's why we're investing so much in electrifying our transportation sector and moving towards a clean energy economy. California's home to the first multi-billion dollar hydrogen hub because of the promise of that technology and more.
Did you watch the debate?
Oh, I sure did. I sure did. And couldn't have been more prouder of Vice President Harris.
Why?
I think she did. I wouldn't say she performed well. She absolutely won the debate, created the clear contrast of the choice we all have this November. She exposed Donald Trump, not just for the bully that he tries to be, but his unfitness for office, while she remained cool, calm, collected, articulate, eloquent about not just her values, a specific experience that she brings to the campaign, to the position of president of the United States, and how she's going to fight for working families, not for herself.
Okay, that's California's, how many times can we say it, senior U.S. U.S. Senator.
He doesn't mind it.
Alex Padilla, thank you, Senator, for being with us. Tomorrow in Countdown 2024, nearly 2 years after a very salacious City Hall scandal was supposed to kill off his career, according to some anyway, L.A. City Council member Kevin De Leon is still alive and fighting for his political life. He will be live with us tomorrow right here in the studio for the full half hour. And remember, we are here now every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.